G'day, this is Jeff Floyd, pastor of C3 Church Bathurst, and this is our podcast. Thank you for joining us today. C3 Bathurst brings life to people by helping them to be revived, restored, and released through getting to know Jesus and his people. We hope that this message will bring you life today. At the very beginning, right throughout Scripture, right at the end, we see a God who is love, not just loves, but is love. His very nature, his very character, his very fiber is love. It's amazing. Like God is the only God in the God marketplace, our God, the real God, who is a God of love. Foremostly underlying everything is a God who loves his people. And the very first part of our life journey, our life pathway, is to understand that God is a God of love, that you are loved. And it's not just to understand it, it's to know. Do you know there's a difference between understanding and knowing? To understand is just a mental knowledge. You go, yeah, okay, I get it. God's loves. That's just like maths, if you've ever studied maths. You know, I kind of understand these things. You know, we say that. I get it. I understand it. You know, we learn things at school and since, you know, in the workplace. I understand how to do that procedure or that. I'm not talking about just understanding. I'm talking about knowing. Like, you can't just understand a person. Like Ian and Rosemary, you've been married for a couple of years. 20? 40? For how many? They had a different number there. It's 44. 44 November. I love it. Now, I'd suggest that you just don't understand each other. Because that'd be boring. I mean, and even that's hard to get. You know, in a relationship, it's not just understanding about someone. It's knowing. There's a knowledge of someone that you get when you live with someone. Without even speaking. And that kind of knowledge is what God's talking about. To know that you're loved is so different to understanding that you're loved. Because knowledge comes on the inside of your heart. It's to know with your heart. Because you've experienced someone. So I talk about a marriage. You can't just read a book about Ian. I mean, how would you do that? Oh, yeah, I understand Ian. I've just read his book. No. You have to know. You have to walk through life's journey together. To really know. So God invites us not just into understanding, but into knowledge. So to know that we are loved is the difficult one. Because all the time we put up barriers, don't we? Oh, I'm not worth knowing. You know, I'm just this. You know, we make up all these excuses. I'm just a little person. Or I've done all these things wrong. How can God possibly love me? The statement that God is love and loves is so powerful. And if we could only truly grasp it, we'd be changed people. How much confidence would you have if you knew that the God of the universe loved you unconditionally? Not a boss, not someone who's checking up on your performance with KPIs and how did it go this month? Oh, I need to have a little chat with this one, you know? It's not God. Because God is what? He's our Father. And what father, you know, judges and manages kids without that heart love? Sure, the discipline. And sure, he takes us on a journey. And that's all part of love. But at the end of the day, God is a God of love. Now, here's what's really powerful. As we start to explore our life journey together, there are seven key things that our team came up with together as we wrestled this through, and they're all on that L, loved, over there. Seven statements that say that you are loved. What does that mean? Because this is a declaration to the world outside. Like most of us are on the journey to understanding that God loves us and to knowing that. But what about the person next to you? What about the neighbor? What about the colleague? What about the people in the houses around us? Do they know that they are loved by God? Do they know? And what does that mean? What does it actually mean? Well, here we go. Here's seven things. And I'm weaving in some Father's Day things because God is a father who loves, right? So as I talk about this, you can think fathers love as well. So number one is that you are unique. Number one thing to help you understand that you are loved is that know that you're unique. Now that's a no-brainer, isn't it? Like you are unique. Every thumbprint that you have is different to every person who's ever lived on the planet. I find that mind-blowing. Unbelievable. How many patterns can you get from a few squiggles? Really? Or a few circles? Isn't that amazing? Like everything about you is unique. God made you and threw out the mold. There's no copying. Even if you're an identical twin, I don't think there's anyone here like that. Even they are different. So God has uniquely created each of us. Your uniqueness shows of his character, that he's just so vast and so creative and so particular. It's not like he says, I just make lots of people. No, to be uniquely created is that God thought about you and crafted you uniquely. Not just obviously your thumbprint, but the way you're wired, the way you think, the way you feel, the physical body. And, you know, it's just incredible. That puts incredible value on each of us because we are unique. In Psalms 139, I'm going to go through seven scriptures today that talk about how we're loved. Psalm 139:13 says, you formed me, my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I give thanks to you for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. The psalmist says, you made me inside my mother's womb. And I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. I'm not just accidentally made. I'm not just a product of some, you know, liaison. I'm actually thought about and fearfully and wonderfully made. Therefore, you have incredible value because you're unique. That's the first part of being loved. The second one is that you are known. Known. Look at this scripture in Luke 12. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 cents? Now, sparrows back in those days were cheap food or cheap offerings. And so, you know, they're plentiful, like pigeons. But it says here that not one of them is forgotten before God. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, you are more valuable than many sparrows. Like God knows you intimately. He's got an amazing understanding. Even he's counted how many hairs are on your head. I've had a haircut lately. Some people have less than others. Hey, Steve. It's easy for God to count Steve's hair. But for others, I don't know where you start. He knows not just the hairs on your head, but he also knows everything about you. He knows you. He gets you. Did you know that? He gets you because he made you uniquely. So even if you might say to yourself, I don't understand even me, or that nobody understands me, nobody gets me, well, guess what? God does. You have a father who gets you. He gets you because he made you. And when he made you, he was intentional about making you. If you've got certain patterns of thinking or ways of doing things, it's because God made it. You can say, it's your fault that I'm like this, God. I tell him that. God, I can't turn this brain off. This is your fault. He's wired you uniquely. Therefore, your personality, your type has great value. People kind of try and be somebody else, but that's ridiculous. Just be you. Because if you can't be you, then the world's missing out. Because, well, God puts you on the planet for a reason. As you, not as somebody else. So we celebrate our uniqueness and we're known. Quirks and tastes and all. Aren't you glad we're not all the same? Number three, that you are loved is that you're valued. You're valued. Not just known and created and unique, but you are valued. Now not just created. Now, obviously, if you make something, if I make something, I value it. And a few months ago, I talked about making a fence to keep my dog in and how the journey of my fence was quite a drama because I'm not a carpenter by any means. But do you know what? Yesterday, I finished it. The right height, dog-proof, mounted the gate on a post that I built and painted and finished. And I stood back and I looked at this. Not bad, Lloyd. Hasn't fallen off yet. It's only a day in. Don't touch that gate, anyone, because it's precious. I made it. You see, you have a value about the things you create, don't you? You know? God has a great value about you. Don't touch that person because he's mine. See, you are important to God, not only because of your creation, but he stepped in when it was time, when you needed help. In Romans 5, verse 6, it says that while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. See, when you're still having problems, God stepped in. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, but perhaps for the good man someone would dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were distant from God, while we were even enemies of God, Christ died for us. While we were helpless, while we had no hope and no chance in this world, Christ stepped in and died for us. That is a statement of value. The cross at the back is a statement that says, you are valued. You're so valued to me that I will step in and even die for you. Nobody else really does that. It says even a good man might dare to die. And we have war stories and things that people step in and die for somebody else. Really? That's a high call. But God himself rescued us while we were enemies, helpless. That is a statement of value. You're a died for person. Not just created, but died for. Can you start to get a sense of the immense value that you have before God? How different is this from so many people's understanding of God, which is some kind of dictator or some kind of scorekeeper or, you know, good karma person who weighs up the good and the bad? It's just nothing compares to the real God of love. If we could only grasp it, wouldn't it transform us? Wouldn't it change us? If we could only just get 10% of it, man, we'd be unstoppable. Number four is that we're chosen. Actually picked out. You know, those horrible sports teams line up when they choose people. This person, that person, this person, that person, and you're left on the sidelines, like me. But God's actually stepped in and chosen you. It says in Ephesians 1, 4, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him. That does my head in. As if the 20 billion designs of humanity is not enough. God actually thought about this before he created the world. Did you know that? So he had in mind, he had planned all of us before he made the world. So the world is a stage for us to live on in our time, as Acts 17 talks about. He's assigned times and places for us to live. It's incomprehensible, but God has somehow organized all this and then created the stage for us to walk on. But even though we're chosen, he's given us choice. While our destiny is to be loved and to be in his family and to walk holy and blameless before him, it still leaves us with choice. We don't have to actually follow because love doesn't demand. Love offers. And so true love says you don't have to. even at your own expense. So at the end of the day, God allows us not to walk into our destiny to be holy and blameless. We still have a part to play in the choosing, but as we choose, we walk into God's choosing. Again, mysteries. But see, we as a church adopt and choose. We as a church embrace and include the people around us. That's the fun thing. That's why we're building a home for life. That's why we're building a place, an expanded place, so that more people can understand their true destiny and true purpose as being children of God. Number five is that you are accepted as you are. You don't have to perform to come to church. You don't have to be this type of person or that type of person. The church is a home for all people, of all different backgrounds, ethnic groups, racial groups, ages, young and old, from the littlest kids to the oldest person, male and female. Rich and poor, it doesn't matter. The church is a family for all because we accept one another. We accept because why? Because God accepted us. Look at this scripture in Psalm 103. It says, as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. He knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. That speaks of grace, that good fathers accept their children. Understand that they're dust, you know, made from stuff, made from clay, breathed into. At the end of the day, we'll return. You know, they'll just return back to the earth. But you see, in the process, God gets it. He gets it that we're fallible. He gets it that we're prone to disease. He gets it that we're prone to falling over. He understands that we're human. Because why? Because he made us. That gives us great confidence. Then to accept other people who may be a little bit imperfect. I know that we always think that we're perfect and that other people aren't. But that idea of just going, you know what, you don't have to stack up to here. You just come as you are. You're accepted right now, whatever walk of life you're from. Come and be part of the household of God. That's the message we have for our community. You're accepted, part of being loved. And you're forgiven. So powerful. See, God doesn't just accept us and love us and embrace us. He actually forgives us because all of us have wandered away and all of us have made choices that are poor and all of us have hurt people and hurt ourselves and hurt God in the process. But that's the power of the cross where Jesus says, you're forgiven. You don't need to carry guilt and shame anymore, regardless of what's happened. Regardless of the situations of the past. And the more that we can understand and know our forgiveness, the freer we'll be. You don't have to carry things from the past. You can walk on and walk freely. So you're forgiven. In Ephesians 1:7, it says, in him, in Christ, we have redemption through his blood. We have the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. It's so much grace. It's so big. It's so full, regardless of what's happened. And lastly, you and I, we're safe. Safe. What a word. The world is looking for safe places. And we long for financial security. It's a picture of safety. We long for relational safety. You want to be around safe people. We long to be well provided for and to live in homes that are safe, you know, with a roof, hopefully. And, you know, we want to be safe. It's a human cry, isn't it? To be safe, to be looked after. And in Psalm 4:8, it says, in peace I will both lie down and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me to dwell in safety. God brings his people into safety. He lets the orphans and the widows come together. Beautiful scriptures that talk about providing homes for people. In safety. You are safe in the arms of God. You don't need to fear. You don't need to have anxieties. You don't need to perform. That the safest people that you can have around you are the people who just accept you and embrace you as you are. They're not going to start arguing or picking or teasing you or, you know, or just criticizing you. Safe. You want to be around safe people. They don't intimidate you. They don't question you. They don't make it difficult for you. That's what a father does, is they provide a home that's safe for their kids. It doesn't mean that they're always not challenged or pushing things away and out, but at the end of the day, there's safety and security. These things encapsulate what it is to be loved. That's our message. You're loved. And so is every person in this city and beyond. It's the love of God. And that's, if we could just grab one thing today, is that you are loved. Hey, thanks for joining us today. We'd love to get to know you better. Come and visit us at one of our Sunday services in Bathurst, rear of 217 Howard Street. Have a week filled with life.